I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel, also to you who are at Rome. As we heard last week from Rico, Paul had been put into debt. He was bound to the whole world because he'd been given the gospel of God, which is for the whole world. It was his job to deliver the gospel to the whole world because it's for everybody. He owed it to everybody. And he said, he moves on now in verse 15. For this reason, that is why he was so eager to preach the gospel to the people at Rome. Well, or more specifically, if you notice, to the readers of this letter, he says to you who are at Rome, people who are specifically reading the letter. So, but why? Why is he eager to do that? Why is he so keen to get to Rome? Weren't there other places that needed the gospel more urgently than Rome? Places that had never heard the gospel at all. Paul himself, at the end of the book of Romans, you might want to keep a finger in Romans chapter 15. We'll look at it a couple of times for some comments he makes. But in Romans chapter 15, in verse 20, if you notice, he says, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Okay, that's his ambition. So why is he wanting to go to Rome at all? Someone else has already preached the gospel there. There's a church. He's building on someone else's foundation. So what's the point of Paul preaching the gospel to people who've already received the gospel? Well, there are perhaps two issues here. First, hearing the gospel is necessary for Christians as well as unbelievers. And secondly, Paul's eagerness in the gospel is focused in an apostleship to the Gentiles. Notice that in verse 5 of Romans chapter 1. He says, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. That's his mission. So that, because that's his mission, to get to preach to the Gentiles, I suppose he's compelled to take the gospel to the heart of that sort of Greek world of the Mediterranean. He wants to get to the heart of it. Well, first then, Paul's eager to share the gospel with fellow Christians. Well, you notice in verse 11 and 12 that were read to us, he says this, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. What does he mean by that? Well, he tells us, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. He's keen to meet up with fellow Christians. As a Christian, he loves to proclaim the gospel and to exult in it with those who've already come to a knowledge of the truth. All Christians can relate to this. Is it not amazing how two Christians who've never met before, from completely different cultures and social settings, can immediately have fellowship around the gospel on a train or any situation? That's the mutually encourage one another. That's a common experience. We've all experienced that. But we mustn't make a false distinction between gospel preaching on the one hand and biblical or doctrinal teaching on the other. We say that was a gospel sermon, and something else we say that, well, that wasn't a gospel sermon, that was something else. That's a false distinction. We mustn't limit the gospel to evangelistic sermons. If any preaching is not gospel preaching, then it isn't Christian preaching. It's not worth hearing at all. Why do we say that? Well, Paul, so, you know, what is this gospel that he's wanting to preach to them? Well, he tells us at the very, again, in Romans 15 at the end, why we say that. In Romans 15, verses 14 and following, he says this, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I've written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave to me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So he's summarized, really, what he's done in this mighty epistle. He says that he's confident that the Roman Christians are complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another, yet he's written to them as if to remind them of what? Of the gospel, so that the Gentile world might be an acceptable offering to God. That's quite interesting, isn't it, when you think about the book of Romans. It contains a tremendously rich and deep range of theology. It deals with creation, the fall, history of the world, how it's going to end, Jesus, his birth, his life, death, resurrection, the Holy Spirit, prayer, the Christian life, Israel, evangelism, Abraham, you know, justification by faith, all these kind of things, massive range of topics. And he summarizes at the end, he says, I'm just reminding you of the gospel. I think that's quite important to remember. It's all gospel as far as Paul's concerned. It's for this reason that every evangelist must be a theologian, and every theologian must be a zealous evangelist. So from this, we're reminded that the gospel is much more than a simple presentation of, say, John 3:16, though it can be that. But really, it's the sum of the whole Bible's teaching. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the sole subject of the Bible. As we talk about in our work situation, wherever we are with our friends, as we talk about life, death, work, marriage, love, money, children, education, society, sin, history, salvation, God, the world, prayer, you know, any subject, any of these topics you could speak about, people say, oh, look at what's going on in the world, what's it all about? We're immediately talking about history, the world, what these sort of questions. As we talk about all these, and we're speaking about them from, you know, our minds being permeated with all these truths about Christ, and we just, that's proclaiming the gospel. Talking about any subject from speaking with Christ as the center, that's gospel. It's a much richer thing, the gospel. If the book of Romans is the unpacking of what Paul meant by the gospel of God, then we're alerted to the depth and breadth of the content of the gospel. It's a rich thing. It's got lots in it. All of us are students of the gospel, and all of us need to be reminded of what it is about. Paul was eager to share the gospel with Christians because the gospel is the word of life, the message that guides and directs us, the instruction that defines our living. If we are tired of the gospel, then we're tired of life, tired of reality, tired of God. Our eagerness for the truth in Jesus Christ is the litmus test of our Christian maturity. If a person says, oh, I'm a bit tired of all that now, sign of immaturity. They're nowhere, you know, something wrong in the Christian life with that person, if they're a Christian at all. So that's the first point. He's eager to proclaim the gospel to fellow Christians so that they can encourage one another with each other's faith. But secondly, Paul does want to bring the gospel specifically to Rome, not just to any group of Christians or any place, but specifically to Rome, not only to remind the Christians, but also, if you notice in verse 13, so they can have a harvest among you, he says, a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Rome was the symbolic, administrative, political centre of that Greek culture world, the Roman Empire. Paul, eager for the power of the gospel to be unveiled, wants to get to Rome to assist the other Christians in placing this spiritual bomb under the throne of earthly power. He wants that bomb ticking right in the centre of this world. That gospel ticking away in the centre of the empire would both outlive and supersede all the pretensions of Roman power, which must have seemed so omnipotent at the time. Paul wants to get there to place this, knowing what it is. The limitations and powers of this age are irrelevant to this Christian, Paul, who is so absorbed by the gospel. Someone says this about this. He says, he would be able to perform his ministry with as little trepidation in the cultural and religious cosmopolitan society of Rome as when he'd been faced with the crass stupidity of Iconium and Lystra. He is confined by no cultural or geographical frontier. He's not at all intimidated by anything. He just wants to get where the gospel can do most. He's not intimidated by Rome. He's eager, desperately keen to let the gospel off the leash amongst the empty vanity of Rome's human glory. He's eager to see God triumph over the imperious power of Rome through the weakness and foolishness of the gospel. He wants to invade Rome, not with an army, which is just another kind of human pretension, but he wants to invade it with something that's really everlasting, the gospel, the power of God. His utter confidence in the gospel laughs at the so-called eternal city, which wasn't. It's this eagerness that caused those early Christians to speak with such assurance, grace, and love when questioned by those who were about to execute them. And they would say, "Are you not afraid of the fire?" they'd be told, or the lions. And they said, "No, I'm more frightened for you." And they were able to do that because of the confidence in the gospel. Well, are we like that today about the powers of our own day? Are we so eager to unleash the gospel amongst the centres of pagan influence today? Just yesterday, someone was telling me how they had quite a large Bible study group in a big national company. It was encouraging to know the gospel was there. People were being saved by it. What about our colleagues at work? Do we feel more intimidated by unbelief than eager for the gospel? How eager are we to have a harvest, as Paul calls it, in our great cosmopolitan world capital, a bit like Rome, centre of influence for the world? Is that the kind of thing that gets us going in the morning? When we get up, do we think, "Yeah, I'll get up, eager for the gospel"? Paul was caught up in the Lord's own enthusiasm for preaching the gospel. He has that great quotation in Romans 10, verse 21. You don't need to look it up, I'll read it. And it's from Isaiah 65 and verse 2. And it says this, it's the Lord speaking. "All day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." All day long. So it's this image of the Lord getting up early in the morning so that he can spend the day stretching out his hands, preaching his gospel. Oh, to a difficult audience, very difficult audience, but he still does it. And Paul has the Lord's heart about this gospel. We can all seek to be that eager. We've got this guest lunch coming up. We could get some tickets and bring people along to hear this gospel. Is it in Paul? His whole heart's in it. In verse 9 that was read for us, he said, of chapter 1 of Romans, he says, "God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son." Isn't that amazing? His whole heart. That's his eagerness. Paul wanted the gospel to be grounded most securely in the hearts and minds of those in that centre of unbelief. So we too must be concerned to remind one another of the gospel, encouraging one another, so that this great city may be an acceptable offering to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, as Paul's desire was for Rome, for the Gentile world. Far from being intimidated by its structures of unbelief and godless power, we must be all the more eager to speak out and live out the gospel of God in its real, all-conquering power and glory, to the honour of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gospel and for Paul's model of preaching it and living it, his eagerness and his indebtedness, his sense of indebtedness. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send your Spirit, and may we be caught up into your enthusiasm for your gospel. May we share your heart and show us how to plant this gospel in the situations that we're in, so that Christ will be glorified and this city will be an acceptable offering to you, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. For Christ's sake, amen.